Tonight is family movie night on ESPN with this week's film, Air Bud. It's tonight, 8 Eastern, on ESPN and the ESPN app. It is 9:30 in the morning in the East. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. This is Get Up on ESPN on a very busy day with a variety of sports news, including the NBA officially coming back. The NBA Board of Governors yesterday approved the league's 22-team restart proposal by a vote of 29-1. The season is now tentatively scheduled to resume July 31st at Disney's Wide World of Sports in Orlando. The Blazers were the only team to vote against the proposal. And so with the season approved to restart, take a look at some key dates here. Games are scheduled to begin on July 31st. The last possible date of the season would be October 12th. That would be Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's a Monday. The draft and free agency will commence shortly thereafter, with the hope that next season could begin on December 1st. And interestingly, we were talking with Adrian Wojnarowski a little bit earlier, and he was telling us that Michelle Roberts, who is the executive director of the NBA Players Association, was expressing concern about what would appear to be a very short turnaround between the end of this season. Again, the teams that make the finals could be playing into October, and then a training camp that were to begin in November and a season that could begin as early as December 1st. So that's something that will have to be ironed out. There has been a consideration of shifting the start of the NBA season from where it currently is in late October into December to try and avoid competing with football and playing perhaps into the summer. That's something many people have talked about for a long time. Jalen Rose has talked about it on this show and other places for a long time. Mark Cuban has suggested, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, that it's something that he would be in favor of. So we'll see if these circumstances necessitate that sort of thing taking place, and if they're able to turn it around as quickly as possible. I am waiting for Jeff Van Gundy, who I'm told will join us live momentarily here with a variety of different things to get into with him about the possibilities of the NBA returning, which teams we think will be at the very top. And guys, why don't we play while we're waiting the Adam Silver soundbite from last night on TNT, because one of the very interesting storylines here is we will show you a graphic in a moment how Las Vegas has reacted strongly to the notion that the Nets, whom no one thinks have any chance whatsoever of winning the championship, might all of a sudden become a contender because maybe Kevin Durant and maybe Kyrie Irving come back and play. Adam Silver was on TNT's Inside the NBA last night. Here's what he said.
There's so much here that's not fair, and I think we were choosing among multiple bad alternatives, given the pandemic we're dealing with. And I think that many of the teams that weren't able to resume play, those eight teams that are not included, thought it was unfair. And I think there were also some of the teams that are already, in essence, had mathematically made the playoffs, that it's unfair to give some of these six teams an opportunity to play in. And I think ultimately, to the extent a team has a healthy roster and those players are able to come back, they are eligible to play.
So again, take another look at these numbers out of Las Vegas or Caesars. It's just as simple as that. When the season ended, the Nets were 750-1 to win the championship, and suddenly they're 60-1. So suddenly the world believes there's a chance that those guys are coming back to play. Let us bring in our NBA analyst extraordinaire, the great Jeff Van Gundy, is back with us for the first time in too long. Great to talk to you, Jeff. And let's start right there. If you're coaching the Nets, do you want Kevin Durant? Let's just use Durant for the example here for the moment. When you consider the history there, when he got hurt in the finals, perhaps coming back too soon, would you want him to play?
Yeah, if he's healthy. Yeah, that's not even a hard question. I think, again, it all starts with the level of health, and particularly his injury. What you can expect is him to come back and be Kevin Durant immediately. But if healthy and the doctors clear him and he feels good about his chance to be successful and play well, certainly. And I don't think it's even a downside, if healthy, for the next season. I think it breaks through some mental barriers and gets him a better start going into next year as well.
You could manage it, of course, any way you want to when he comes back. They're going to play 8 games in 16 days. There will be back-to-backs at least once, I'm told, for every team in there. You wouldn't have to play him in that if you didn't want to. I guess then the question I would ask you is, if Kevin Durant comes back and is the Kevin Durant that we have been accustomed to, what are the Nets capable of in an Eastern Conference playoff scenario?
Well, if Kevin Durant is back and he's the old Kevin Durant, I mean, they can beat anybody. I mean, he's that good. He's that big a difference maker. We all know that. We've seen it. We've seen his ability to absolutely dominate games. But I think that would be a stretch. Having not played for over a year, to then expect him to come right back in eight games in a non-fan environment and immediately click with his new team, I think that's a stretch. But would it make them dangerous in a playoff scenario if he got six or seven of those games in? Absolutely. They have a good team to begin with. And with Durant, they have a chance to be a great team.
Now, let me just throw it over to the Western Conference side of that, because Portland, I think, was actually the genesis of the question last night. I wasn't watching the interview when it happened, but Portland is a team that was ravaged by injury this year that could be getting back Nurkic and could be getting back Collins. And if they can find a way to get into the playoffs, they are currently outside of the eight teams in the West. But if they found a way to get in, that's a team that made a deep run last year. How dangerous is Portland if they're all healthy?
Well, again, I think when you have been out as long as these players have been out, we can't think that they're going to come back, Mike, and be great right to start off with, or consistently really good, particularly like a Nurkic, who had such a huge impact on Portland's team last year. I think you have to understand that they're going to be still a bit compromised. However, the longer they can stick around and the more rust they can knock off, the better their depth will be, the better their front court will be. And again, when you have Lillard and McCollum, as we've seen before, they're going to keep you in games. But they needed more help to close the deal out. They didn't have that this year for many reasons, injuries being one of them. And they would be very dangerous because, you know, again, Nurkic is very, very good. And Collins defensively is outstanding.
Just imagine them managing to sneak in some sort of play-in scenario as an 8 seed and getting the Lakers in the first round. That would be a really interesting scenario if it plays out. You know, you're making me think of this question as we're talking. Because, yes, guys like Nurkic and Durant are coming back from long layoffs. But everyone's coming back from an unprecedented circumstance in which a lot of these guys probably haven't been playing any basketball at all for the last 10 weeks or whatever it will be. What will be the hardest part of this? If you're a coach right now, what are your biggest concerns about getting a team ready in the, whatever it is, 4 weeks or whatever that will be that you will have before the season will begin? What will be your biggest concerns about getting them ready to play at their highest level?
Well, obviously getting back, staying healthy, not skipping steps, as Greg Popovich always reminds us, in building your team up. But I think the biggest overall obstacle for a coach is, once the initial enthusiasm wears off after they get to Orlando and they've been there for a week, how do I sustain the level of enthusiasm that my team needs to play with? Because I might be here, if I win a championship, I might be here 3 months in Orlando. It's hard on an NBA road trip of 7 to 10 days. You see that last game of a road trip. Everybody can't wait to get home. Imagine now 3 months in Orlando, especially if it's a restrictive environment as far as people being around, who can come, who can you interact with, can you go out to dinner, you know, can you take a drive, what can you do? If it's restrictive, I as a coach would worry about how do I keep my team engaged, enthused, with the goal in mind, versus if you go down in a series 2-0, you just like have a little bit more of a give in to you so you can, you know, just get out of the nightmare, particularly if you're not a true championship contender. You know, if you're the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks, you're going to have a championship. Like, I know we have to endure this, but let's do it because we got a shot. But if you're, I don't know, the Orlando Magic, you know, you don't have a real chance to win a championship. You know, how is your level of enthusiasm as the days go by?
It's all going to be fascinating to watch play out. All right, final question, Jeff, and obviously this is the big one. All other things being equal, who do you think wins it?
Milwaukee. I think they have the easiest road to the final. I think they're deep and they're really good and they're driven. Certainly, you know, the L.A. teams are great and I think one of those two will come out, but I think Milwaukee, I think they're an outstanding team, and I think they've been great from day one, and I think their star, just like the stars on the other teams, are extremely driven, but I think he has an extra level of motivation that will push them forward. But I think, Mike, to be honest, that's just a guess, because without home court advantage, without fans in the stands, this is highly unpredictable because, again, you have to have a true love for the game if you're going to excel in this type of environment. You have to have a mental fortitude that allows you to still want to be there for 3 months in a hotel room. I mean, this is going to challenge every bit of mental strength, and that's why, to me, it's so fascinating. I think the level of basketball we have to accept may not be top flight, and there's going to be some ebbs and flows, right? But those teams that can stick with it and persevere and drive each other, I think have the greatest chance of success, and I can't wait to watch to see how it develops.
I feel exactly the same way. Jeff, I thank you for bearing with us through. I know it were a couple of little technical issues here. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's talk again as this thing gets started. Thanks very much.
All right. Take care.
That's Jeff Van Gundy with us here. We'll take a short break as we continue. Drew Brees says he has learned a lesson after his comments. What did he learn? What is the impact on the locker room? We'll talk about all that and more next. Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like animal control when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
We are back on Get Up, and during an hour-long virtual team meeting yesterday, Drew Brees addressed his Saints teammates and again apologized for his controversial comments. Then last night, Brees made his second apology on Instagram. This one was on camera.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice.
Brees' teammate Michael Thomas posted the following yesterday. He tweeted, "One of my brothers made a public statement yesterday that I disagreed with. He apologized, and I accept it, because that's what we are taught to do as Christians. Now back to the movement. Hashtag George Floyd." Very pleased to welcome for the first time on this program Kimberly Martin, who is here. And Kimberly, you wrote a column yesterday describing what happened with Brees this week as a learning experience. For those who've not read the piece, what are the lessons?
The lessons go beyond Brees. They extend to the NFL, and it extends to society at large. This is a teachable moment. You cannot profess to understand. You can't profess to be an ally. You can't profess to be a leader for and in the black community if you don't understand the basic premise of the movement, why it started the way it did, and what needs to be done. And I understand Brees apologized. This is not about Drew Brees is a terrible person. He needs to be canceled. But it's so easy to say you're an ally without grasping how high the stakes are for Black people in this country. And he had an opportunity in that interview to, when asked how can he use his leadership, be a role model, use his platform, he had an opportunity to explain everything that he did in that apology. And instead, he took us back 4 years to a conversation about the anthem and made it sound that he was more patriotic than some of his teammates. And I don't understand how you can be in a locker room with DeMario Davis, Michael Thomas, Cameron Jordan, and all these other guys, and still not understand that that four-year-old debate, there's no need for it right now when you have the platform to talk about how you can be a difference maker.
Breeze, and we just showed a bit of it here, did release that video apology last night following the earlier Instagram post. What is your reaction to the way he's handled it?
I think a lot of people and, you know, wonder, what did he learn overnight? That's my question. What did he learn overnight that he hasn't learned in 4 years of how we've seen the NFL go from Colin Kaepernick? We've seen Colin Kaepernick be jettisoned essentially and purposely. What did Brees learn overnight that suddenly he has this awakening? Conversations with teammates and friends in the league and other community leaders, those conversations weren't taking place over the last 4 years. I wonder if the apology is sincere, because the timing of it, a lot of people kind of roll their eyes at it, especially with the image of the two hands, the Black hand, the white hand clasping together. It's a symbol of what he wants to do, but when he had that platform, he misused it. So going forward, he has to stop with the statements, stop with the apologies, and just continue to give money like he's been doing, support causes, but also listen and understand that you can't speak for people who are directly affected. You have to, before you listen to them, you have to listen and understand what it's like to be in their shoes before you can be an advocate for what they're trying to get across.
And Kimberly, quickly, I know you've been in touch with DeMario Davis and perhaps others. What have you heard from inside that locker room?
They're going to move past it as best they can. But the resounding thing that I've heard from former players, current personnel people, is the question of how do you look at Drew Brees the same? There are going to be some guys who don't. You can move on, you can forgive, but you do not forget. There are some people who are going to be fine with Drew Brees, but he has to understand that a lot of opinions were changed in that moment.
Kimberly, this is a pleasure. Thank you very much for this. I recommend the piece. It's very interesting. You can see it on The Undefeated right now, and we'll do it again sometime. Thank you very much, Kimberly, for joining us. All right, let me bring Dan and Desmond back in, if I have them, please. Desmond Howard and Dan Orlovsky. Guys, you hear the conversation there, and it was a really interesting piece that she wrote, if you had a chance to look at it. Desmond, what are your thoughts?
Well, she made a lot of good points, things that I mentioned earlier, because he did have the opportunity to address what's really going on. But when you look at his apology, Green, it's funny that he said that I wish I would have spoke from the heart. Like that's just really confusing to me, because it seemed like he was just speaking his truth when he gave that interview on Wednesday. So moving forward, though, Green, it's important that he aligns himself, in my opinion, with Colin Kaepernick in the movement. I think, you know, at this point, he needs to show some sort of solidarity with that movement. And the best way to do that is to find a way to align himself with Colin Kaepernick and other people who are involved with the movement. And then that would show that he's putting his action behind his words. Because, like I said, the damage that he caused Wednesday was tremendously great to his teammates and to minorities.
Dan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is a tremendous opportunity for learning for all of us, Greeny, for all of us to look at just the Drew Brees situation that was obviously very public, and for us to have the opportunity to learn from it. You know, we need to be doers, not just hearers. And I started, you know, over the last 10 days, I've reached out to so many friends and I've asked the question, hey, what can I do? Like as a white man, what can I do? And so many of my friends were like, Dan, just listen. Right now we need you in the white community to listen. And over that time period in listening, I started to ask myself, okay, I'm a parent of four kids and this has to start at home for me. And it came down to three L's. It came down to listening to the cries and the pleas and the pain, and then learning where those cries come from, why they're there, why the pain is there. I have to do a better job of learning and then leading. I've got to lead myself through this. I've got to lead my family through this so that my four kids are educated on this and hopefully, you know, get shot off into the world as arrows that are part of change and part of generational change. And so a big deal is just learning and listening through all of this or from all of this. And the Drew Brees situation is a perfect example of how we need to check the way we think and we need to check the way we speak or communicate, because our words can have unintended consequences. And so just hopefully a great learning and listening experience.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Of all the things, Des, I only have a moment here, but we'll come back and do more in a moment. Of all the things that DeMario Davis said to me yesterday, the one that keeps sticking in my mind is when he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to talk about Drew Brees because that takes away from what we should be talking about. We should be talking about George Floyd. Right. We should be talking about the reasons why all these things are happening.
Absolutely.
And there keep being these distractions that get in our way. A quick moment on that, and then we'll come back with more.
I tell you what, when I keep hearing people talk about listening and learning, I'm like, listen, I pretty much went through the same education system that all of you guys went through. So I don't understand what is it that you have to learn? What is it that you have to listen to? What you have to stop doing is ignoring. See, to me, that's what really caught me off guard about what Drew Brees. Are you ignoring all the cries that are going on, not only in this country, but around the world right now for social injustices and police brutality? So it's not about listening and learning. You hear, you see everything that we see and here. Stop ignoring. That's what you have to do first and foremost.
We'll continue this conversation in a moment. Stephen A. will join us. Jalen will join us. Much more on Drew Brees, whose comments have rekindled the discussion of Colin Kaepernick's protest of 4 years ago. What will we see this season in the NFL? Again, Jalen and Stephen A. join us in a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We are back on Get Up, and the Minnesota Vikings yesterday canceled all virtual team meetings so that players, coaches, and staff could view the local memorial service for George Floyd. Several Vikings players attended the ceremony in person, which was held at North Central University in downtown Minneapolis. Here's more reaction from around the world of sports yesterday.
Minneapolis is a place that, I care about really deeply. It breaks my heart to see the people of Minneapolis, not only treated like this, but, how hurt they are by this, People of the world, this isn't a problem that's going to be fixed overnight. It's going to take accountability from each of us.
I can't sit here and remain silent, because that's exactly what we've done every time our Black community screams and yells for help. We have to end social injustices and racial inequalities. We have to end the police violence against our Black communities. Black lives matter. I don't understand why that's so freaking hard for the white community to say.
And so the whole debate on all the other stuff, the flag, everything, like, people don't want to hear that. What he was doing was a big deal. And the reason, whether you disagree with how he did it or not, doesn't matter. It's 3 years later, and there's still some people not understanding what his message was. And that's regardless. too many people aren't understanding the message that everyone's been giving for a long time. And Colin did it the strongest out of anyone. And people should respect him a ton for that and admire that.
So those were some of the things that were said during the day yesterday. And then last night, more than a dozen NFL stars, including Saquon Barkley, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., and Patrick Mahomes, united to send a remarkable and passionate video message to the NFL about racial inequality.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am McCormick Dunn.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our rights
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Remarkably powerful video, again, released last night. Stephen A. Smith will join us in a moment. I'm told he is just arriving. But Jalen is with us for the first time this morning, and Desmond is here as well. Jalen, when you first saw that video, what was your first reaction?
I admire each of those young professional kings for not only using their voice, but being change agents in a system, in particular the NFL, that we joke about it being the no fun league, but it continued to find a way to not only silence Colin Kaepernick's protest, but ultimately ostracize him from the league. When 32 football teams at least have two quarterbacks, some carry three, you can't tell me over the last 4 or 5 years he didn't deserve an opportunity to play football. And so now the question is, for anybody who was offended by the protest, you should now ask yourself a question as you look back at history. Who was actually right? That was Colin Kaepernick.
Desmond, what was your reaction when you saw the video?
Similar to what Jalen just said, I thought it was very powerful. I admire those young men for coming together and putting the video together. I have to say that I was actually looking for some NFL insignia. I was looking for the shield, which didn't come up once. I noticed that they were all dressed in civilian clothes. No one had on the jersey because the jersey has the NFL logo on it, too. So what they're doing is tremendous, but I want to make sure that they keep going forward with that movement and that they also hold the NFL accountable. Make the NFL, Roger Goodell, them get behind their movement so their voices can be heard even louder. Great start for those young men, but they need to make sure that the NFL and Roger Goodell, who I believe owes Colin Kaepernick an apology, that they get behind this movement also.
You know, it felt to me as I was watching it, Jalen, as though they were demanding action. It is one thing to say the right things, and it is another thing to actually do meaningful things. Now, I do not want to shortchange the fact that many teams in the National Football League have taken meaningful action financially and beyond that in the 4 or 5 years that we have been talking about here. But it sounds to me like these players are saying once and for all, people need to start doing stuff. The time for talking about it is over, Jalen. The time to actually start doing things has arrived.
Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And look at the sports dynamic. The NFL has represented itself as the shield and not necessarily marketed its players. It's actually marginalized its players. They have restrictions after high school. They have a salary cap. They don't have guaranteed contracts. They just lost, in a lot of people's opinion, their most recent negotiations with the NFL. And so even though we are the labor on the field, we're not in ownership, not many GMs or presidents, very few coaches, but we're allowed to be the entertainment and the labor. And so if they continue to carry this message that we're bigger than the score of the game, that could be a powerful domino as it continues to fall.
Now, for anyone who has seen the Broadway musical Hamilton, you will know the quote that sets the stage for the entire thing, which is, if you stand for nothing, what will you fall for? Which is a derivation, Jalen, of what you just said. And Desmond, everyone's voice should be important. But how important do you think it is that you have very high-profile players in there? You're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Odell Beckham Jr., Saquon Barkley. We're talking about some of the biggest stars in the National Football League. How important do you think that is in the big picture?
I think it's very important, you know, from various standpoints. You know, people in the community, they relate to these players. These are the stars that they see take the field every time an NFL game is being played. So to see that they care about you, that they care about your community, that they care about the movement, it goes a long way. It's like when people back in the 60s, the civil rights movement, if you would see a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you would see a Jim Brown, or you would see a Muhammad Ali, when you see your stars and the people who you look at who are supporting the movement that affects your life, your daily life, then it gives you a lot of hope and a lot of energy. So I think that's a tremendous job by those young men. I just hope that it keeps going forward.
Okay, I'm told that Stephen A. is ready to join us now. We apologize. We had some technical issues getting there. So Steve has not been able to hear the conversation to this point. I just want to make that part of it clear. But Stephen A., I will give you the floor. If you've seen the video that several NFL stars released last night demanding action on the part of the National Football League, what was your reaction when you saw it?
Well, first of all, I had two separate reactions. Number one, I applaud what they were doing. I think it's the right thing to do. Obviously, I was very excited to see that, as I believe any black person should be at this particular moment in time, or anybody in America, considering the times that we're living in. We know how powerful their voices can be, particularly when they unite with one another for a common cause such as this. And I think it's exceptional. The flip side to it, however, is that a lot of people have leaned towards what Colin Kaepernick did as impetus and pointing to the fact that, you know what, he was right all along. This is the position that we should all take, et cetera, et cetera. Outside of Jerry Jones, I don't recall anybody in the National Football League stopping these players from doing that years ago. Now, certainly there were players like Saquon Barkley and Patrick Mahomes and others who were not in the league at that particular moment in time, but there were players who were in the league. When Colin Kaepernick originally took a knee, I think the number was approximately 11 people joined him. It wasn't until the president of the United States called the players sons of bitches and said fire all of them. It wasn't until he said that over 200 players had taken a knee, including coaches, along with Jerry Jones himself, who had prohibited up to that point the players doing such a thing, and even thereafter was reticent about them taking such action. As a matter of fact, he was vehemently against it. The NFL consists of 1,600 players. That means that even after the president said what he said, there were 1,400 players that did not join Colin Kaepernick and did not choose to take a knee. Nobody was stopping them from doing so. Prior to that, there was over 1,585-plus players who had refused to take a position. So when they make sure to make this position and encourage folks to do so, let's remind them, they could have done this all along, particularly if they were together, because the owners can't get rid of all of them. That's my position.
Stephen A., you and I are the same exact age. And we have seen incidents in the past. I don't mean incidents specifically, but times in the past where it felt like we were on the precipice of great change. And obviously, with regards to this issue, we have not seen that change. It has not materialized, because here we are again. Do you believe this time is different? And if so, why?
I think this time is different. I think that the younger generation has stepped up to the plate, as they have throughout our history. Let's face reality. Anytime change has occurred, it's usually been led by young warriors, and I give them all the credit in the world. And I think that in this particular instance, the level of courage, fearlessness, their level of intellect, along with all of those attributes, speaks volumes. And then on top of it all, more so than ever before in my lifetime, white participation. I remember somebody telling me the other day they saw a white person on the corner in Atlanta, Georgia, holding up a sign that said Black Lives Matter. A young white person doing that. We're seeing white folks all over the place join hands with black folks in fighting this fight. And so because of their participation and the fact that they have a significantly lesser chance, if any chance at all, as of being ostracized, I think that speaks volumes about the direction that we're moving in, the kind of movement that's taking place and the kind of change that we should be encouraged about seeing, because we're in a position where we can anticipate now because there's a plethora of bodies involved in the situation. I love it.
Jalen, do you feel that way too?
Absolutely. And that's where I was going to piggyback off of what Stephen A. was saying about the players not speaking up a few years prior and only 11 guys kneeling with Colin. That's exactly where I was going. This is way different. This revolution is televised. The coronavirus and the pandemic forced everybody to sit still. And those images have been happening in this country over 400 years. But all of a sudden now, 40 million people are losing their jobs, are getting furloughed, are getting laid off, dying from coronavirus. And so now all of a sudden, we're forced to look at this television. And time again, we have to explain to our parents sometime why their thinking was off. You got to explain to your kids why they should not hate. And so the level of power has now shifted in a way that these athletes now not only live in the suburbs, but their families live in the suburbs because they're getting more money and more power now. So that steamrolls the voice. And I agree with you, Stephen A. and Desmond, you brought this up. In the 60s, when it was the Ali Summit and those great things happening in sports history, when you actually watched the protests, it was 98% black people. Now, it's a lot more diverse. And because it's a lot more diverse and the movement has now infiltrated into the suburbs, it forces everybody to pay attention and ask themselves, what were we thinking? How did we get there? And now we must make a change.
Now, Des, you're a little younger than the rest of us in this conversation. What are you feeling and hearing from people that you talk to about this?
Well, it's the same thing that Jalen and Stephen A. said. And when you look at the allies, you know, you study what happened in the 60s, like there are different allies now in numbers and in race. Now, of course, there were whites who walked with Dr. Martin Luther King and marched with Dr. Martin Luther King in the civil rights movement, but not in the numbers that we see today. And you're dealing with a different animal when you're talking about the youth of today. When President Trump mentioned a couple of nights ago that they were going to sic the military police on the protest, and told the governors to dominate the protesters, these protesters looked them right in the eye and said, we'll see you tomorrow night. Like, they didn't back down. They're still protesting. They're not afraid of that stuff. So what might have of changed things back in the 60s, it's not working now in 2020. So the number of allies that the movement has increased dramatically. The faces of the allies has increased. And then don't forget, it's a worldwide movement now, too. Worldwide. We're talking Germany, Paris, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa. All you need to do is turn to BBC and you will see that this is a worldwide movement. So it has a completely different feel, Greeny.
Stephen A.?
Listen, if you look at these young warriors out here today, I mean, why do we use the word warrior? Because if you talk to them, which I have, which I'm sure Jalen and Desmond has had, whether you run into them in the streets or what have you, based on everybody that's been outside at this particular moment in time, they give you every impression they're ready to die. They don't care because that's how adamant they feel about this. And they're not alone. I'm not talking about just black kids. I'm talking about white kids, too.
No,
this is
the
mindset that they have. That's not to say that it didn't exist in the 60s, but it certainly exists now. And when the president of the United States tweeted that if they had penetrated the Secret Service line any further, we had the most vicious dogs waiting for them, that riled people up even more, because anybody who is of African-American descent, any black person will tell you what dogs being sicked on protesters signify and is reminiscent of. And when you give that kind of imagery to people who already feel oppressed and is looking for an excuse to embolden themselves even more and come at you with fists blazing, ready to throw down,
That is not something the United States of America wants, particularly when it's not just black people on the front lines. It's white people standing right by their side. America doesn't want that. The younger generation knows that. And there are sacrifices that they've given us every indication they are willing to make. And that is something that the older generations that are particularly in positions of power had damn well better pay attention to. It's a new day.
Go ahead, Jalen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, the main difference, however, is not the behavior of the police, or a lot of those have been criminals and badges with badges and murderers and the other terms that I could use. But the cell phone has been so very crucial in this, because it's one thing to know something is happening. It's another thing to sit there and watch it happening. And I want to do a distinction. When black people get shot and killed by police, that video sometimes isn't 9 minutes long. When you watch the knee to the neck for that period of time, not only are we forced to sit still, you're watching that video for 9 minutes, and you get a chance to hear him say, cry out to his mom that passed away. You get the chance to hear him say, "You're going to kill me. I can't breathe." This wasn't the first person we've heard say that. Eric Garner said that. This is part two. The difference is, the world is listening, like Desmond said. And that progress and that Stephen watching. A talked about for young people, continue to march on, continue to be in peace, because your voices are being heard.
The significance of video, I think, is an excellent point. I also think the significance of social media, Desmond, which means more opportunity for people to communicate, more opportunity for people to be talking to each other, to understand how others are feeling, to gather, to organize the things that we have seen. All right, I'm told that we're out of time here. I know this conversation will continue on First Take, and which is coming up in just about 15 minutes. Guys, I thank you for your candor and your passion and your honesty and your emotion. That's what we've tried to bring here all week long. And I don't know that we've done it any better than we just did. So I thank you all. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come back.
Thank you.
There is other big news in the world of sports that we will cover. The NBA is ready to return. LeBron and Giannis leading two of the best teams. Do they need to worry about another team that might be getting its best player back? We'll talk about that. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up, and as of yesterday, it's official. The NBA is coming back this summer, and the Bucks will likely secure the top seed in the East. They outscored their opponents by over 11 points a game this year, on pace to be the fifth highest in a season ever. In the West, the Lakers will likely claim the top spot in the conference. LeBron James looking to join Russell, Sam Jones, and Kareem as the only players to reach 10 NBA finals. The Grizzlies are currently in control of the 8 seed. They've got a 3.5 game lead over Portland, over New Orleans, and the Kings, and a 4 game lead over the Spurs, and a 6 game lead over the Suns. All those teams are invited. And here's the big question. Will the Nets go to Orlando with Kevin Durant and or Kyrie Irving? KD has been recovering from Achilles surgery last June. Kyrie is recovering from shoulder surgery in March. And if you don't think Vegas is paying attention to the possibility, think again. Take a look at these numbers from Caesars. When the season got called off in mid-March, the Nets were 750-1 to win the championship. They have obviously hedged that number in a significant way. Now just 60-1. So let's take a look ahead to what we can expect. And Jalen is with us as we continue here. So Jalen, should Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come back and play for Brooklyn this summer?
Absolutely not. I would love to see them play basketball also, and I just saw those odds skyrocket. But I remember being in the gym when Kevin Durant got injured during the NBA Finals, and that was 12 months ago. You don't do a short-term move, and bringing him back in a shotgun offseason, in theory, as you restart after the coronavirus and the pandemic in a bubble, and play 8 games in 16 days, and then 7-game series.
for an injury that has been that serious for a player that is so very accomplished. And the second thing I want to say is I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie Irving also doesn't play. He had an injury plagued year also. He didn't end particularly playing a long stretch of games where he was in the lineup. So therefore, to me, you go with the guys that have already pretty much helped you get into the playoff race. But if I'm the Nets, I don't bring back either one of these guys.
To play devil's advocate, because my initial reaction was exactly the same as yours. But if this were a regular season and there was about this much time remaining in it and those guys were healthy enough to come back and play, would you bring them back to play under those circumstances?
Kevin Durant was already acknowledged to not play this season.
Right.
That shouldn't change based on the coronavirus.
I'm with you. I just can't get the image, even though Jeff Van Gundy disagreed with us this morning, the image of him on the floor in the finals after he had clearly felt pressure to come back and play too soon, I can't get that out of my head. I wouldn't do it either. All right, so that said, who is your favorite coming out of the Eastern Conference?
How about this? I love the Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis is my MVP. And Chris Middleton has become a really nice all-star second-level player. But throw all normalcy out of the window. This is pickup basketball outside on a Saturday when it's hot, the wind is blowing, and it's shirts and skins. There's no normalcy. There's no home court advantage. There's no fans in the stands. And so when I look at the Eastern Conference, I'm like, wait a minute. The Boston Celtics should win the Eastern Conference this year under these circumstances. Because if I'm looking at it like a pickup game and I was picking teams, I would take Giannis first overall, but probably of the next seven picks, four or five for sure will be Boston Celtic players. Jason Tatum has emerged as a top star in the league. Kemba Walker's an all-star, all-NBA performer. Jaylen Brown ascended this year and averages around 20 points. And Gordon Hayward is coming off of an injury, and he's going to continue to play elite basketball. That's my choice during this shotgun situation that the NBA is going to be under.
I'm so with you. I made that prediction on First Take about 2 weeks ago, and everyone yelled at me. I'm delighted to hear you're on that side. They also go 10 deep. They have 10 guys who play double-digit minutes, which could matter in this very condensed postseason. I have a minute left. How about the West? Who do you like in the West?
The West, you got to go with the two L.A. teams to be your favorites. Obviously, the Clippers are terrific with Kawhi and Paul George, two guys coming in off the bench that should share six men of the year in Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. But LeBron James didn't make the playoffs last year, okay? So he was off basically from March until the start of the season, which was October. He went hard from October to March, and then he's off again, and plus he has AD. If LeBron's gonna be a champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, this is his best opportunity. I'm going with the King and the Lakers.
I'm with you.
West.
I'm with you. And can you imagine after all of this, in this crazy offseason, it ends with a Lakers-Celtic final. That would be outstanding. Jalen, you're the best. Have a great weekend, my friend, and I will see you
on
Monday.
Thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate you.
Quick break here, and First Take is coming up next. Again, all of our timing is moved around a little bit today. Drew Brees offers two apologies yesterday. What impact will they have? Stephen A. and Max are coming up in just 6 minutes right here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. 8 spicy chicken nuggets for just $1. And on this Friday, that is all the time that we have. We thank you so much for spending as much of it as you have with us this week. It's been a really interesting week inside and outside the world of sports. And I'm delighted we've been able to bring you the conversations that we have. And we will do so again starting next week. I will see you Monday. Thanks for watching.